Lord, brethren.
Praise the Lord.
Once again, we're broadcasting live here from Birmingham, Alabama, and this is the 13th day of January in the year of our Lord, 2021. And we welcome you to Discussing the Truth broadcast. I am your announcer, Antonio Green. Our host for this broadcast is Pastor James A. Dansby, and our co-host, Minister Kelvin Pierce.
Amen.
We have Minister Milton Dudley on this broadcast with us as well. And it is our prayer that God the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would speak truth to your hearts. Pastor Dansby.
Well, praise the Lord, guys.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
It is good. It is good to be here today.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
God, even better to know the Lord as our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Praise God to have a relationship with the Lord. Praise God. That is the best blessing that anyone could attain to, just to have a living relationship with the Lord 24/7 each and every day. Amen.
Every day. Right. Amen.
Praise God. We just thank God for another opportunity just to come and praise God, just to share the Word of God, just to maybe praise God to try to bring some clarity to the Word of God, and hopefully to help someone to praise God to have a better understanding of what God is doing in the body of Christ and how we're falling short, and praise God what we need to do to catch back up. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Milton. No, we'll switch.
Okay.
Let's switch. Brother Kevin.
Amen.
Thank God bless the broadcast. Please, sir.
All right, let us pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we thank you for this broadcast.
Bless
we come
you, yes,
today
Lord.
In obedience unto your calling, dear Lord, to speak to your people, dear Lord. We
yes,
know
Lord.
That your word
yes,
will not
Lord.
Go out void. And dear Lord, let the word do to the people's minds and hearts what you intended to do.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name
Jesus,
we pray.
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Okay, gentlemen, God bless. We just so good to see everybody. Praise God, we got so many things happening in the world today.
Yes, yes,
amen.
We do.
Man, so many things that, I mean, the not things that the church can kind of brush aside and say, well, you know, I'm not involved. I don't have anything to do with it. It's not my business. It is our business.
It is.
Praise God.
It
simply
is.
Because, number one, praise God, we're called to be a light in the world.
That's right.
We're called to be salt.
Salt.
We're called to be light. We're called to preserve. We're called to illuminate.
Amen.
The dark path, and it's mighty dark out here
it
right now.
It is that.
It is.
Praise God. It's
it
a dark
is
day.
That, brother.
It's a dark
it
day. And the question is, where is the light? It seems that the light has diminished, and the light is just about gone. The church, where is the church in bringing some clarity and sanity?
You sounding kind of like the salt has lost its savor.
That's what the Bible says. And then if that is the case, then it's good for
nothing.
What you say?
Nothing.
It's good for nothing.
Good for
praise
nothing.
God. The church, when the world influenced the church, instead of the church influenced the world.
Amen.
Is that's that a right. problem? Y'all think that's a problem?
That's a problem.
Yes, it is a problem.
That's a problem.
That's a big problem.
In other words, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission.
Absolutely.
We're not doing what God has called us to do. And I think God is calling the church to realize this, and we need to repent and get on our knees and ask God to forgive us and give us another chance to glorify our Lord as he has, praise God, glorified us.
Amen.
God has done great things for us.
Has.
I mean, that Lord going to the cross and shedding his precious blood that we might have life and have him abundantly. My brother, I praise God, we can never repay him. At least we can,
amen,
in this dark world, shed a little
light
on it, you know. At least we can do that, could we?
Right.
Amen.
Praise
good.
God. But
right.
I think we're falling short, and the church has become bewitched. Paul called it bewitched.
Bewitched.
The church has been bewitched. In other words, the devil has slipped us a Mickey. Is that what the kids used to say?
Yeah, Mickey.
Right. Yeah,
being
right.
slipped us a Mickey. Praise God, we done jumped on the Jim Jones train again or something, you know. And we're going in the wrong direction. But we want to examine today what Paul says about the church being bewitched. We want to look at it from the standpoint of the Judaizers that he was speaking in reference of, you know, in particular. And also from the point that we have a devil, a spirit in this world today that's trying to render the church null and void. They're canceling our contract.
Okay.
They're trying.
They're trying their best. Well, not all of us, because mine is not going to be canceled.
Right.
I'm determined that I'm going to speak up for the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, I hope you gentlemen feel the same way.
Oh, have no
but,
choice.
In this, you know, I mean, y'all, you guys are a little bit younger than me, but in this late date in my life, I can't afford to back up.
No, huh? No, no.
I came forward to stutter step, not back right, up.
Right. We're past the world. Huh? Younger or not, we're just as close to the coming of the Lord as you are.
Amen.
Bring it on. Bring some clarity to that.
That's it. That's good. You're right.
That is good.
You're right. And like you say, even that, the coming of the Lord is close, and we believe that. But then, like you say, we don't know where old death is.
Death might be close.
That's right.
He might be even close. So it behooves us to take advantage of the time that we have now and to glorify the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
And praise God. Bring some clarity among this insanity today that we see happening in our government, in our education system, in our church.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Amen.
A divided church.
You know, but it's to the point, like the Lord said to Pastor.
Yes.
The harvest truly is plentiful.
But what now?
But the labels are few. And see, so many of us.
He said that a long time ago. That ain't relevant.
Yeah,
that
stands today.
more so
today.
You mean there's plenty of work to be done. As far as bringing Christ into this whole situation.
That's right.
And
that's
it just ain't enough of us doing it.
Ain't enough of us doing it. You know, when we talked a while back during the summer.
Yeah,
summer.
Right.
We was talking about Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
And we were saying that. It should be some remnant of God's people out there in them protesters to say, hey, put a halt to this. Hey, that ain't the way the Lord would have it to go.
Okay.
And so it should be the same way on Trump's side here.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. You know, it should be a remnant of God's people there to say, hey, wait a minute.
That's too far, right?
We're going too far.
Yeah.
Even though it was a mixed multitude.
Believe it or not, my brother,
mixed multitude.
And you're not going to see it in the mainstream media, but there was plenty of that going on there.
Yep. Trying to curb that.
I ain't saying that was just a normal thing that was happening or whatever, or it was the norm for that hour, but there was a lot of that going on there that we're not seeing in the mainstream media.
They ain't going to see it.
I hope that the belief. Especially, we should be a little bit more spiritually adept to the fact that the enemy always try to make things look different than what they really are.
He's a pervert. He's a pervert.
Okay.
That's right.
I mean, and what they saw and what the news is reporting is not what it was.
Thank you.
I mean, I wasn't born yesterday.
Okay.
It may be day before yesterday, but it wasn't yesterday. But the point is that there was underlying causes
for what
we saw happen.
Okay.
And it's not what they say it was.
And it was pre-orchestrated.
Yeah. Well, here in Birmingham, Alabama, and we're going to get on with this lesson here. Here in Birmingham, Alabama, when we had our little skirmish down here in the park not too long ago. And
That was about the statues.
One gentleman told me that the day before it even happened, somebody dropped a pallet load of bricks down in the park.
That's right.
A pallet load of bricks. Now, why do you drop a pallet load of bricks and there's no construction going on in the park? What are they there for? Well, it's orchestrated. They're getting ready for something.
Right.
Somebody's going to pay for the delivery of the bricks and everything.
The same thing happened at the Capitol.
That's it.
There were battering rams and milk to combat the tear gas already in place.
With stage.
And they were allowed to go in and do what they did. They were allowed. And I hope our Christian people got enough spiritual sense to know that.
Absolutely.
To know that. But now we're talking about the church bewitched today, though, brother. Then I think that being bewitched is not quite like a lot of people think. Not in context. We're going to try to keep it in context first, okay? Maybe next time we'll go into the spiritual part. But let's keep it in context here. Galatians 3:1-9. Read that first, Milt. Y'all get your Bibles and read with us. Praise God. Don't take our word. Read it all, Milt.
Galatians 3, chapter 3, and verses 1-9.
1-9, that's right.
I said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?
Yes.
That ye should not obey the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you.
Okay.
Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith.
Which one? That's what he was asking. Go ahead.
Hearing of faith.
Okay.
He said, are ye so foolish?
Foolish.
Having begun in the Spirit, and ye now made perfect by the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Have you suffered so many things in vain? if it be yet in vain.
Okay.
He therefore that ministers to the Spirit.
To you. Mm-hmm.
And worketh miracles among you.
Yes, yes.
Doeth he it by the works of the law?
No, no.
Or by the hearing of faith?
Okay. Yes, yes.
Good question, good question.
Mm-hmm. Even as Abraham believed God.
Yes. Okay.
And it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Righteousness.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathens through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed.
Okay.
So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So
Amen.
Paul asked the question to the church there. Praise mm-hmm. God. Who has been with you?
Mm-hmm.
Who gotten you off of the standards of what salvation is all about and got you over here into another area trying to, to earn salvation.
Okay.
And other than having faith in the Lord and trusting the Lord through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Why y'all don't turn from faith?
Right.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's a good question.
And going into trying to work
your way.
And we're gonna show you how that's been done today. But let me look at this article. Look at a little bit of this article here, brothers. Be with you. Galatians 3:1-19. Now, I apologize. The author of this article here, I had his name and I kind of got away from it, but so I apologize. It said, intro, bewitch. When I hear that terms, I think of a TV series back in the 60s. We said bewitch. When I hear that term, bewitch.
Mm-hmm.
And we know about a picture they had on television a long time ago. On a much more serious note, Paul starts out the third chapter in his letter to the Galatians with the question, who had bewitched you, you foolish Galatians? That's Paul's question to the church mm-hmm. folks during that time. Mm-hmm. Having defended his apostolic authority, we know Paul had to constantly prove that he was the 12th man.
Apostle.
Huh?
Yeah.
Judas was out, Paul was in.
Was in.
But he had to continually prove that, right? Having defended his apostolic authority in chapter 1 and 2, Paul set out to defend the gospel of grace, the truth of Christ against a false gospel. The Judaizers were proposing that said the cross of Christ was not enough to save you.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So that's the way we come up with this term, bewitched. In other words,
they say that today, Pastor.
Huh?
They say that today.
What to say?
That the cross ain't enough.
Okay,
you have mm-hmm. to do something else.
Well, the churches, many of our churches have gone away from just the pure gospel. Christ died on the cross mm-hmm. for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in order to build the mega churches they want to build,
Yeah.
Then they're going to have to add
more to it.
More to it.
Yeah, that's what Jehovah Witnesses say.
Sure.
That him dying on the cross just kind of leveled the playing field.
Uh-huh.
Now we can start working our way towards.
Okay, well, have y'all heard this lately, brothers? The Pope said Jesus' death on the cross and his mission was a failure.
No.
Yeah, I heard that.
No.
I heard that, yeah.
The leader of how many millions?
The B.
He said Christ's work on the cross was a failure.
Mm.
Now, who would follow a person like that?
Someone that's
someone
the witch.
Someone can't see.
Someone's the witch.
Someone who's blind.
That's a perfect example right there.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, now, so it says here that Paul set out to defend the gospel of grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
The truth of Christ against a false gospel of the Judaizers, which proposed that the cross of Christ was not enough to save. We need more than that, right?
Right.
They just relegated his atoning sacrifice to an incomplete, that's the same thing the Pope was saying.
Right.
Incomplete, less than satisfactory act that needed further work in order to achieve salvation for its object.
Right.
Huh? Mm. Bewitched is what he called that whole situation.
Bewitched.
Can a true Christian be bewitched?
No.
Huh? Well, let's wait and see what his definition is now. We ain't talking about possessed now.
Okay.
Let's wait a minute here. According to 326. Go ahead, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
326. Kevin, come on. I'm going to work you too now.
Oh, okay.
You got nice. You got 326. Paul, according to 326, that Paul is writing to the Christian. What did he say there?
For ye are the children of God by faith.
By what?
In Christ Jesus. Faith.
By faith?
By faith.
Not
in
works?
In Christ Jesus. Not mm-hmm. works.
Not works. We become children of God by through our faith in Jesus Christ.
In Jesus Christ.
Well, ain't nothing else added to that, brother?
No.
Huh? Praise God. And we know the Bible, Revelation and Deuteronomy, all of them say don't add nothing to it, right?
Don't take nothing from it.
That's so right. Now you're in violation of God's will and word when you start adding anything.
Adding anything.
Romans said if it's grace added to it, it's no more works.
It's no more works.
And then if it's works added to it, it's no more grace. Grace.
Okay. Okay, so now Paul says, according to 3:26, now Paul is writing to Christians. He says, the sons of God through faith in Christ, that's the way we become believers. Now he says they have become bewitched now in 4:9. 4:9. Read, Kevin.
But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God.
One or two of them. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements,
boy,
whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?
Enslaved. Back in bondage.
You know, a lot of people have gotten bored. Have y'all noticed that a lot of preachers got bored with the cross?
Yeah.
And the old story.
Feel like it needs some jazzing up. They feel like it needs some jazzing up.
Look how Paul described it as weak and beggarly elements.
In other words, you desire to go back under that bondage. If Christ set me free from trying to be good.
From the law of sin and death.
That's right. Why do I want to go back there? That's a tormenting thing.
Yeah.
Huh?
When is good enough?
Right.
How much do I have to work? I got
an
answer for that question, Pastor.
What's that?
When you said why and when would you want to go back there?
Mm-hmm.
When you are bewitched.
Yeah.
Okay. Goes back to that.
When you are bewitched.
Yeah. Amen. And that's the only time.
In other words, now his definition of bewitched here is when we have been lured away from the pure gospel of
Jesus Christ.
Right, okay.
Right.
And got off the King's Highway.
That's right.
That's straight in that narrow.
That's right.
And the devil on the side road beckoning forth to come over here.
Come on. Okay.
And we took a detour.
That's high piper. Just blowing you right on away from.
And we took a detour. Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Now he says, so yes, a Christian, a true believer can become bewitched.
Mm-hmm.
The term baskahemino, translated bewitched, is only found in this one place in the Bible, and is from the Greek verb baskan, meaning to malign, right? To fascinate.
How?
By false representation.
Mm.
To charm in a misleading way.
Okay.
To seek to do harm to someone by lies, deception, and false promises.
That is.
Sound like today, don't
Lord
it?
Lord bless you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's your season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, do we hear?
Yeah.
Your breakthrough.
All you have to do is name it.
Before it's your season, before it's your breakthrough, I want to know, do you know the Lord?
Are you saved? Yeah, that's a good question. Are you saved?
You just can't give away God's blessing to anybody.
The children bread.
Jesus said it ain't meat to take the children bread and then cast it to the dog.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
That's right. And the brother agreed with it when you told the truth, Lord.
Truth, Lord.
You tell the truth. Okay, but it means, okay, Kevin, this one, back to you, what you said a while ago. The definition is it's not so much to take you out of your salvation.
Right.
Because I believe that a young believer especially can be misled.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, for a minute, I was dazzled with that.
Absolutely.
The Bible talks about young believers, believers' peer being tossed to and fro.
Well, and that's back to the discipleship.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Being like Rosie said on
follow up, yeah.
Mention, disciple them properly so they won't get fascinated with a lie.
Well, you're zealous. And at salvation, you're so zealous.
I was.
I wanted to hear everything anybody had to say.
Well, you're like a kid with a new toy.
That's right.
You're so excited about being saved.
That's true.
And then simply because we are so bent and leaning toward that love, that fleshly lust, and the things of the world. Then somebody come up and say, "God told me, do you realize you are one of the king's kids?"
Mm-hmm.
Nobody told me.
Mm-hmm. You're a king's kid.
You ought to be driving a Mercedes.
Mm.
Huh? But now what he didn't tell me is that the kingdom ain't down here.
He didn't say that part.
He didn't tell me.
You are king's kid, but didn't say that part.
He said, this is the valley of the shadow of death. Hey,
the devil, he really deals. He deals in part truths.
Part truths.
He loved part truths.
Well, and these Judaizers was mesmerized. Mm. They were taken from, that's why Paul was so hurt, because they had moved away from the solid foundation and teaching that God gave him for them, and they have moved into the realm of fascination here. Is that what he said there?
Well, Paul said he claimed to know nothing except Christ and him crucified.
Man, that's kind of had a one-track mind.
That's it. Yeah. Christ and him crucified. Yeah.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Huh?
And that's enough.
What?
And it was enough.
And that's amazing by itself. Because the guy was so educated and so heavy when it comes to knowledge and language and all that.
Absolutely. Okay.
But he was able to just put that
aside. Right.
Not glory in, none of that.
And just deal in the simplicity of Christ.
Can you see why God chose him? See why God loved him so much?
But see, he had such an outstanding moment of salvation.
Okay.
To... He couldn't get hooked off on that.
I got you.
You understand what I'm saying?
Well, his conversion was
It wasn't everybody's story.
Everybody don't have a testimony like that. Mm-hmm. But we do have a story, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Every believer that's
been changed. And I think mine was just as dramatic.
As much of a miracle.
I do. Yeah. I really do. It was just as miraculous as Paul was on the Damascus Road.
When you look at your life and where you came from, where he brought you from, then you look at it like that.
Yeah.
Because you know the old Tony.
Absolutely, right, bro.
Well, but you know, I saw myself to be the mad dog that I really was, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh?
Okay.
When the Holy Spirit convicted me. When my file was put on God's desk and he told the angel, go get it.
Man,
everybody said go get it. The law said go get it.
He got your clean sheet right there and thrown down.
Got to put a whole desk up there.
But when I was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit about my lifestyle and the things that I was doing, like I say, I actually to keep from. You know, I that urge was there to go out there
and
to do the things that I've been. But I gave my key to my neighbor, and I told him, don't give it back to me. I don't want to go nowhere. I don't need to go nowhere. And she said, James, I'm going to keep it now. If you get mad at me, I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to let you go anywhere, because that's what you asked. And boy, I tell you, the mad dog come out of me when I got where I wanted to go. I started cussing and carrying on. Give me my key. I saw myself just the way I was. Mm-hmm. A mad dog. Mm-hmm. Until God saved you, we ain't nothing but mad.
That's right.
Mad dog. We're some mad people. Mad we don't know the extent
that's right.
Of our madness.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right.
Praise God. But when the Holy Spirit began to deal with us, then we do. Because that urge is there. Come on, a little bit further, quickly now. It says here that...
The idea here is
the believers can be seduced. Okay. Not unsaved, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Lied to, tricked into believing lies about
the gospel.
Knowing that we are to hold on to the truth, guard the truth.
Guard the truth.
Rightly handle the word of truth, assume we can be. Mm. He told us to hold on.
Okay.
That means we can have it kind of slip a little bit,
at least
temporary. Right, I don't think it's a permanent thing with a believer, you know. But like say, you got to grow up. A kid got to learn how to walk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're going to make some mistakes as we walk. We're going to fall.
And I understand.
Even in the area of our attaining knowledge of the Word of God.
Right. I believe the next line kind of explains it, Pastor. Read that last line in that paragraph.
Okay.
Bewitching
is not rejection of the gospel, but adding to.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Distorting
the gospel. And that's what the enemy major in.
That's right.
Distorting the gospel.
That's right.
But now, the sad part today is, Kevin, give me that Acts 20:29. And Tony, you give me Ephesians 4:14. Milton, you got that too, 2 John 9:10. Mm-hmm. The sad part today is that the churches have fallen into this trap.
Okay. Right.
The churches, our churches have become bewitched. Mm-hmm. You know, the old gospel has become so... What are you stale and to most people?
Outdated.
Outdated.
Yeah.
Stale.
Antiquated.
That's a good word.
Raunchy or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
To these people that they feel that they need to add something to
something
it. Especially if you want to try to build mega churches.
Well, what the Bible call it, foolishness. It's foolish.
Amen. To think that when you deviate from the program God has set, this gospel work. Absolutely. The old story, it worked.
Yes. It's enough.
Christ dying on the cross for my sins, shedding his blood. If we are hanging with that and preach that, not only is you going to keep that old raunchy devil away from the church, but you can pray.
Souls will be saved. You'll see souls saved. But I think a lot of people are not intending on obeying the simple gospel anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? So now when you add to it, it becomes a drawing card.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes what you've added to it, you're using to draw, as in numbers, as in money.
Prestige money.
You're using it to draw then.
Mm-hmm.
So now the focus has gotten off of saving souls. Mm-hmm. Of salvation. That's what the gospel is for.
Amen.
And to bring us to repentance.
That's what churches have fallen into tradition.
Yes, yes.
To gain them crowds in there.
Sure.
That's right.
All the days and this different stuff.
And the theatrics that goes on. The light shows.
Yeah.
Lust of the things, the lust of the eye that appeals to the lust of the flesh.
The concerts and the dance shows.
But discipleship coming now.
Okay,
where
the Lord
would have somebody,
take a young disciple. Take a young disciple.
Hey, brother. Hey, sister. This is not the way the Lord would have it to go.
Well, if we were disciple, period, Milk.
Period.
After we've given them the gospel and they've made that profession, that repenting confession, we truly disciple them in the word of God. Mm-hmm. The word will hold them.
Well, I'm not totally innocent in this being deceived for a while when I first started ministering the gospel.
Absolutely.
Because the guy, like I say, I started preaching a little bit before this prosperity thing started blooming real much, quite a bit, But I must confess, brother, and don't y'all be mad at me now, I must confess that the guy told me that I could have that Mercedes, but I need to put a picture of it on my refrigerator.
Mm.
And just look at it every day.
Yeah.
What they call it? It's a word for that kind of thing.
Sight board, vision board. Vision board.
It's another word.
That name and
but you got to see it. You can see it until you make it
manifest. The secret. That's part of the secret, ain't it?
What secret? No, I mean, if you want a Mercedes, you ask God for the Mercedes.
Uh-huh.
Now, you believe that you have it, and believe it so much so until you put your picture on the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And you can see yourself, imagine yourself driving it, until all of a sudden it materializes.
Yeah.
What's wrong with putting yourself in a position by living right, doing what's right?
When working some overtime and getting
young and dumb. When you're young and dumb. To a certain extent, I think all of us, especially if you come up when that thing first hit the market, naming and claiming.
Yeah. That prosperity thing.
Yeah, when it first hit the market, we got to back up. Let me look at this here. Can I have what I say? Can I really have what I say?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and all the congregation like Bill Money and about the pastor one, so they figure that it is possible.
Right.
Kevin,
Acts 20.
Warnings against bewitching. What does Acts 20:29 says?
For I know this,
okay,
that after my departing,
shall
grievous wolves enter in among you,
okay,
not sparing the flock.
Mm. So he knew that that was going to happen. And Christ also knew that when he departed, as we've been teaching on our last teaching, the bridegroom leave, then we need to fast and pray.
That's right.
Because the big guns.
That's right.
Come.
That's right.
The big guns coming out.
That's right.
And they are out.
That's right. They're out now.
We see it right now. We see it today. Go ahead, Tony, read Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4:14. Yes, it says that we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro.
Help us, Lord.
And carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Oh, boy.
By the sleight of men.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie, L-I-E, in wait to deceive.
Cunning craftiness.
Sleight of
hand.
Oh, yeah.
What is this?
Sound like Houdini at work. Yeah, the shell game.
Wait, which one?
But that's
basically what it is, ain't it?
That's what it is.
And if you're not solidly grounded in the word of God, you're going to be
think about this, Pastor. Like you just said, they're telling you how to put the picture on the refrigerator and how to keep naming it and claiming it and all that. What about the will of God?
Mm.
That's you. You already made a plan. You want the Mercedes.
Yeah.
But what about God's will?
Well, in order to represent the king, you got to look right. like the king.
He got it. He got it down. He got it down.
He got this whole thing.
He know it, though. He know it.
That same king. That's what they say. Same king that left the stallion tied to the fence post and grabbed the coat of a donkey's ass.
Pastor got it.
I can't tell you God is good unless you see me looking good.
That's right.
Hey, that's it. Good.
That's what they say.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. And then I'm going to draw right. people into the Ponzi scheme.
Wow.
Ponzi scheme. Wow. Hope that's coming, brother. Put it here. Put it here to your game.
Hey, you just keep stacking yours. And you bring some in behind you.
Okay. Yeah.
To stack some.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get you a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bill, read that.
This thing crazy.
2 John 9. Bill, read, please.
2 John 9 and 10.
9 and 10. Read it, please.
It said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God.
Abiding, stay with the old time gospel. Okay,
he that abided in the doctrine of Christ.
Yes,
he has both the Father
and the,
Son.
That's true.
If there come any unto you,
oh boy,
and bring not this doctrine,
wow,
receive him not into your house.
Say what now?
Neither bid him Godspeed.
Don't fellowship with him.
Don't fellowship with him.
All right, so if you do, you're sharing in his wicked word.
Why is the church downtown and down the town in our major cities that with the
Black Lives Matter and Muslim and
anybody? Why is it that our church folks?
Yeah.
Huh? Is that what Paul said? For he's forbidden that?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's not the way of God.
That's right.
No.
Huh?
Well, you said it in the beginning, Pastor. Yes, this social gospel.
Social. Okay. Sure.
Has moved in and pushed Christ slap out of his house.
And the sad part about it, they are they are out there because the preachers have
led them out.
That's right. That's right. Let's get out and let's march for social benefits and all these good things. But that's not. Would Christ get out there and march for the causes they marching for?
No. But they say he would.
Not when they.
They got on that on the TV and said Christ would be the first at the gay pride.
That's what I heard. At the gay pride, Christ would be the first and he'd have burned down a city. He'd have burned down a whole city. Now, bewitched. We back to somebody. Right. Somebody
the women
bewitched.
Said on The View, and she said she's a stunk Catholic. She said her Catholic faith tells her that Christ
would what now?
Would be the first at the gay pride, at the pride parade.
And I imagine in that case.
Where did you get all this stuff from?
Huh? They bewitched. In that case, he'll be at the abortion clinic too.
That's right.
By that same logic.
Yeah.
By
that logic,
that he'll be protecting.
He wouldn't want to see that young girl life ruined
by that baby.
By that baby
that he created.
By that life that he created.
That he
allowed.
That he created.
And that's so crazy. It's sad, isn't it, brother?
It's sad.
Okay, let's go a little further here. So we see there are those who desire to bewitch the church with from the inside as well as from the outside, right?
Yeah.
And from outside. Do not take him in. All these warnings assume we can be bewitched, he said. It is why our pastors guard the truth. Should supposed to, right? Guard
that's
the
good.
Truth. Contend for the truth. Preach the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't get outside it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many pastors fail. They fail in this, huh? Because they are what?
Afraid.
What is that 2:12 there? Is that Galatians 2:12?
Yes. For what? Before
uh-huh.
that certain came from James.
Watch it now. I remember
He did eat with the Gentiles.
Who was that? Peter?
Peter.
Oh,
Peter. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself.
Oh, boy.
Fearing them.
Fearing.
Which fearing. Were of the circumcision.
Mm. So he began to
shine. He was eating with the Gentiles. Yeah. But when James and them came, he got scared.
I ain't with them.
Yeah, right.
That's a coward, isn't it?
That's what it is.
And Paul called him out on it.
Paul called him out.
Right.
He rebuked him for that. Amen. Because that's playing both sides of the fence.
That's right.
It is. And we got to choose ye this day who we going to serve, brother. God, we got to serve God.
That's right.
We need to make up our mind that we're going to stand on this old-timey gospel.
That's right.
It worked. It worked for me.
That's right.
Huh? It broke my heart.
It's still working.
And for anybody else who's saved.
It's still working and keeping.
It will work. Okay, what is the minimum that must be believed for one to be saved, brother? I asked this question, he said, because the Galatians, the Judaizers were trying to add something to the gospel that Paul had not preached. That should have been in there. And today, this same issue come at the church from within and what?
Without.
You mean we got people inside the house here that are trying to lead us away from? Well, because what? They about mega churches.
That's right.
They're about numbers. Right.
These few people we have at our church, we're a failure.
Well, they're about coexist as well, Pastor.
Coexist?
They're about mixing with everything else, every other wind of doctrine.
Okay, okay.
You know, and they try and convince you that we all serving the same God.
Okay, okay.
Well, if your God had been the gay pride parade, then we can't be.
No. Can't be, my brother. We need to examine that real close. But the Bible said, Lord, adds to the church.
As he
see fit.
And we are not seeking just a body to fill up a church with bodies.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
Because you're gonna get some people in there gonna turn around and gonna bite you in your behind. Because they're there for the wrong reason.
Right.
You recruited them not because the Spirit of the Lord have saved them and delivered them and brought them in, but you're trying to pick your number and make your numbers grow.
That's right.
So you can take in more tithes. Or so that you can get recognition in the Baptist newspaper.
Well, David did that.
David did that. A great mistake, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God, a great mistake. We know that if we preach the gospel, God is going to draw to the gospel.
Well, we know that us and God is the majority.
Absolutely.
Regardless. If God is with you,
who can be against you? That's the word of God. Praise God. But we make a lot of mistakes when we try to add things to this program. To God's program.
That's right.
Ice cream on Saturday. You got to have ice cream on every Saturday.
Yeah.
You got to have the little goodies to draw people in. Well, what happened to the Holy Spirit drawing?
Right.
If I be lifted up, I'll draw. Is that what God said, Mill?
That's what he said.
Me. Well, why you got to... Why you come in here dressed up like Bolo the Clown want to entertain the children?
Well, you want to be a part of the world. You following the world.
Okay, so you using techniques and apparatus other than what God
has. You building a corporation.
Yeah. Because that old, you know, that gospel, I mean, that was back in the day when they did it like that. We need to draw the young freshen people with technology.
Yeah.
We need to draw them with wearing sports jerseys and all that. Remember when T.D. Jakes wore the...
Yeah. He's on the fire right now. Y'all heard that. You know, they suing big tech, big pharmacy, which we dealt with here a little back. They suing Jake now. And they said they're going to bring all the lawyers, the big lawyers out.
What did he do?
That CBD oil. He started his own company.
Oh, did he?
Jake got his own. He said he's a CEO. He named the company, but he started his own company. It's selling like hotcakes and big pharmacy losing business. And
Pastor, what about Sean and the very appearance of evil? You know where that oil come from? From the hemp plant. You have to separate it from the stuff that gets you high.
Yeah.
You have to.
Come on.
Are they separating it, though? All of them.
Well, he keep the CBD and Nino Brown keep the other, I guess. You keep the other half of it.
But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, God called me to preach. And I try to, you know, with the help of the Lord, orchestrate my life so that I can give that time to preaching.
Right.
And meditating in the Word of God.
Right.
And a lot of preachers, like maybe Jake and a few other, they want to be businessmen, preachers and all this at the same time. Make a lot of money and all that at the same time, you know.
Which could God, do I don't. Could your spirit be right doing that?
No, man? My spirit could be right. Now, the God I know, the Holy Spirit that lives in me, demands that I be attentive and there to listen to the voice of God and not get caught up and encumbered with, what did he tell Martha? Martha, you are.
Things of the world, baby.
You so concerned. But Mary have chosen the what?
Good part.
And I won't take it away.
That's right.
She's doing just what I want to do. She's looking in my mouth. She listening to me. You know, I don't worry about them collard greens, them ham hocks in there right now. You know, that ain't important right now.
See, if we was to focus on what we should, the Word of God, and being soul winners.
Okay,
and preaching the Word of God.
Yeah, fishermen.
So many of our church folks wouldn't be bewitched.
That's true. Well, you know, we just got to do what God, teach the word and preach the word of God. Let's go a little further here, brother. Our time is getting away from us. What did I start at? Anywhere? Adding to the gospel some form of additional words. That's what they were doing then, and we're doing it now. Words. You know, mega churches out cleaning my yard, cleaning folks' yards in the community. The poor folks in the community too lazy to clean their own yard.
passing out book bags.
And they can't put a roof on the house because they buy alcohol and all that kind of
anything,
stuff.
Anything.
So they're going to do all these work. That's a lot of time consuming.
Yeah.
To, you know, all these projects. I mean, it looked noble. It looked great, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
But is that the call?
That's what I was about to say. Not that it's wrong that they're handing out book bags and cutting grass, but it's not the gospel.
It's not the gospel. That's right. The drawing, it comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We got to depend on the Holy Spirit to draw people.
That's right.
Not because I gave you a book bag. That's right. In itself, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But not don't come to our church because I gave you a book bag.
That's right. That's right.
And then, you know, because some of them said that's just the bait.
Well, you hear a lot of people say.
To bring them in.
What's wrong with the black community? It's 5 or 6 churches in one community, but that community is so run down. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, so what is that church doing for that community?
Okay.
The church is thriving, but around the church,
there's
a deteriorating neighborhood.
Sure.
They don't understand the gospel.
Not at all. But see, like Pastor said, a lot of the preachers are to blame for that because when they went out into the communities to deal with social issues in the 60s, they never came back.
Okay, that's right. Social issues in the 60s took the church away from the path that the Lord set and put them into a social gospel, more concerned about what water fountain I drink out of or what bathroom I go in. Okay. They made these the major issues in the church. And in other words, they were fighting for their freedom. Well, the Bible says whom the Lord set free
is free indeed.
So when you say, are you set free?
Yes,
absolutely.
I may not can drink out of the white water fountain, but am I still free?
That don't make you free if you can.
That don't make you can be in bondage drinking out of the white water fountain.
Yes, you can. That's true there.
What? Really? Somebody had misunderstood.
See that?
Somebody didn't understand that. Okay, let's go Luke 23 there. He talks about the thief on the cross there. Kevin, you got that?
Yes.
Read it quickly.
And there are also 2 other malefactors led with him to be put to death.
Okay.
And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors.
Yeah.
One on the right hand and the other on the left. Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Salvation experience.
And they parted his raiment and cast lots.
Mm-hmm.
And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying,
okay.
He saved others. Let him save himself.
I'm so glad.
And if he be Christ, the chosen of God.
Yes, Lord.
And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar.
Oh, boy.
And saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself.
Save yourself.
And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew.
He's the king.
This is the king of the Jews.
Praise God.
And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us.
Okay.
But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?
Same condemnation.
And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds.
But this man hath done nothing amiss.
Ooh, yes. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today,
praise
hallelujah,
shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Praise God.
Well, how can that be?
Today.
How can that be? He,
that's the gospel right there.
He wasn't baptized, though.
No, he wasn't. And didn't knock on nobody's door.
Say what?
Didn't hand out a tract.
Didn't clean no yard.
Didn't do
nothing.
Didn't
put no roof on the house.
None of that.
But he was saved.
Yes.
That
he recognized who God was on that cross, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Look what it says. So let's look at a very familiar piece of scripture to help us answer the question. What is the irreducible minimum that must be believed for one to be saved? What it takes to be saved, y'all? Notice what the thief did. He acknowledged he was a sinner.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He realized he was a sinner.
The other brother, he didn't realize it.
No.
Well, there's always going to be one like that, ain't it? He recognized Jesus was innocent and undeserving of the judgment.
Amen. He didn't supposed to be up there. He recognized
that. He recognized that.
In verse 41.
He recognized Jesus was far more than just a man.
Amen.
And he was indeed King Jesus, and going when he led out to his kingdom.
Called him Lord.
He asked Jesus to intercede to remember him.
Remember
and
him.
And he placed his faith in Christ.
That's it.
That's the gospel.
Is that the gospel now?
That's the gospel.
That's what it takes to be saved.
Amen. That's it.
No. I mean, yes, we're supposed to take the Lord's Supper, but is that necessary to be saved?
No.
We do that after we're saved, don't we?
And remember.
We do baptism after we're what?
Saved.
We don't get baptized to get saved?
No. You already saved when you get baptized.
Already saved.
Yeah, you've been baptized.
That's a confession
into the fire
of
the Holy Spirit.
That's a confession of your faith, right?
Your faith.
That's evidence to the outside world.
Yeah.
That's evidence. Mm-hmm.
Public proclamation.
So when someone tries to add something to the gospel, go to the cross, he says. Listen to Christ's word to the thief. See what he said and believe. And then you will know what he said.
The truth.
You say
the
you will know the
you
truth.
You will know the
okay,
truth.
Okay, Paul arguments from the Trinity and their personal experience. I think that was pretty good, too. Verse 1, you personally saw the clear portrayal of Christ on the cross, died for your sin, and as a result, you, in verse 2, believe what you heard and be received the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:2. What you're told, you got it?
Yeah, read. It said, Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Is that enough to be saved?
That's it.
That's enough.
That's enough.
If we keep on preaching that here at Great Commission, then though we may not have but 75 or 80 or whatever it is, that's still success.
That's the Lord's ministry.
Okay. So that's better than having 500 that built on lies.
That's way better, yeah.
Is that right?
That's better than having 5 million built on lies.
Built on lies and not on solid foundation. Is that right? Okay. Paul said, for I have know nothing. Okay. The idea here is more than just a physical event of Christ dying on the cross, but the theology of this event, he became sin for us. Praise God. That's 2 Corinthians, right?
Who knew no sin?
You got it, Bill?
No sin.
Okay, yeah. Read. Who got it? Read it. 2 Corinthians 5:21.
2 Corinthians 5:21.
Yes.
For he hath made him to be sin for us.
For us.
Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
In him.
That's the only way he can get us out the dog. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
No other way that we can be exonerated.
That's right.
For the sin that we inherited from our
that's
life,
right.
Adam.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He became sin.
He became sin for us. Praise God. Praise. What about Colossians 2 then?
Okay, I got it.
Got it. Read.
And you being dead in your sins.
Who are dead?
You.
Okay.
Me and the rest of
you. All right, go ahead.
Anybody listening?
Okay.
And the uncircumcision of your flesh.
Okay.
Had he quickened together with him.
Quickened.
Having forgiven you all trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
Blotted out the handwriting of the ordinance.
That was against us. Oh, boy.
Which was contrary to us.
Mm-hmm.
And took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And having spoiled principalities and power.
Is that what he did? He made a mockery out of them?
He made a show of them.
Good Lord.
Openly. Triumphing over them in it.
Crazy.
One day he gonna, when we get to heaven, when we have that great celebration, boy, I can see the Lord on a white horse dragging that scalp. And we stand there, hey! Remember Revelation 5:9. Read.
Nobody. And they sung a new song,
yes, sir,
saying, thou art worthy to take the book,
okay,
well, and to
okay.
open, mm-hmm. thou art worthy to take the book,
okay, come on,
and to open the seals thereof.
Okay.
For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God
us.
Mm-hmm. by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
So it's wrong for me to look for redemption any other way.
That's right. Amen.
That way,
right.
I mean, it looks like y'all ought to give me credit, though, brother. I didn't ask for no salary here. Y'all ought to. I mean, that ought
to. You ought to get credit for that.
I see you ain't gonna cooperate right now.
You take that credit. Take that credit if you want to.
I see you ain't gonna go with me, bro.
I can't ride with you there, bro.
Okay, all right. Christ didn't swoon on the cross. He died and rose again, purchasing men for God. Because the cross is the event of continual results. Continuing results. Y'all hear that? I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It affects. Never stop. The cross.
That's right.
You don't add to it.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right. That's it's right. enough.
Uh-huh.
It's enough.
Because it never lets off. It's always, it's still working. Is it's that right?
Amen.
It's working. It's working. Hebrews 10:14. Read.
For by one offering.
Mm-hmm. How many?
One.
You got to add something.
By
to that.
One offering.
Okay. All right.
He is perfected forever.
Uh-huh.
Them that are sanctified.
You got to tithe though, man.
Is that the offering you're talking about?
No, I don't
okay,
think so.
Okay, then. Okay.
But Abraham tied it, though.
Okay. But you should, too.
Yeah, but Abraham was known for his faith, though, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right.
It wasn't his tithe.
That wouldn't have nothing to do with his tithe.
Okay.
His faith was counted to him as well.
So we need to be careful when we venture away from the cross.
That's right.
The work that was done by Christ, which secured our salvation, we should be rejoicing in that, shouldn't we?
That's right.
That's right.
Huh? That's right.
Because if you basing your salvation upon works, you like you said a while ago, Tony,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna always be asking, "Is that enough?"
Yeah,
that enough?
You'll that's never right. know if it's ever enough.
That's mm-hmm. right.
That's the problem. Is that joy and peace?
No,
not at all.
Not. But now we know it's
is
all
that assurance.
We know it's finished. We know it's complete.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with my failures or my attainments.
That's right.
That's right.
So we
that's
ought to right. be able to rejoice in the
yeah,
Lord.
It has nothing to do with your nothing. That's what we saying.
Now see, you know, when you say things like that, you bring the flesh out of me. I be wanting credit. You, see, you're so hard, man. Why your body slam me
it's
like
not
that?
Me.
Okay, here's the word of God. Man, I'm growing up. I'm getting desensitized. Okay, where we at here? Oh, boy. Well, that's a little bit more. Our time just about got us now. Where we at?
At verse 2.
Because
verse
the cross?
Right. Where
verse
said,
2. Okay,
they believed
two.
In Christ.
They believed in Christ. They received the Spirit.
Romans
8
one.
And 9 teaches everyone who believes and receives the Holy Spirit, they belong to Christ.
Yeah.
You're not your what?
Own.
1 Corinthians 6:19. That what it says?
Yeah.
That's right.
Anybody got it?
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Which what?
Which is in you.
In you.
Mm-hmm. Which you have of God. Mm-hmm. And you are not your own.
Say what?
You are not your own.
Well, it's a woman's right to do what she wants to with her body. It's her body, ain't it?
It's not her own.
It's not. But that's what they said on the news. CNN.
Yeah, that's
said.
What the news said.
CNN okay. said it.
But 1 Corinthians 6:19
said. Yeah, 1 Corinthians said it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are not your own.
Yes.
So in other words, we've been bought with a price.
That's right.
That's right.
And you know, I tried to explain that a little bit today on the podcast, brothers. You know,
mm-hmm.
If it wasn't, I thank God for His grace in keeping us.
Amen.
Huh? Because if it wasn't for God's grace, I'm not talking about just saved people, but unsaved people.
Yeah.
God showed me this a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Because the fact that you straddle the fence, and like a lot of these Christian folk, they have one leg in the world. One leg in the church, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Now, the devil ain't satisfied with that arrangement. He'd rather you be all the way over here with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he really got his eyes on you because he don't know what
which way you're going.
Yeah.
So now, if God's grace wasn't keeping you, that scoundrel would turn on you like a piranha.
Right.
You come to kill, steal, and to what?
Destroy.
It's God's grace that's keeping him from tearing you
that's
up.
Right.
You
that's
ought to
right.
be praising God while you're straddling that fence and hurting yourself like that.
That's right.
Because the devil, he know one thing, and how to destroy it.
That's his job.
But God keeps them all.
Amen. Ooh. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Ain't God good?
He is.
It's 52, brother. We're going to have to close out right now. Mm-hmm. We at our quotient.
We just getting having fun.
I know. Well, maybe God will let us do it next week.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. But Kevin, come on. Let's sum it up here. The church bewitched. Paul said, that don't mean that we are completely taken out of the realms of salvation. But that means that we've taken a side road.
Okay.
Hmm? And we're going in a direction contrary to the word of God. Because now, Tony believes that if you're saved, God's going to get you back on the road. What do you think?
I believe that also.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that also. As if we're truly saved, we may be possibly bewitched.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit will instruct us to come back straight.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay.
We see now that the reasons for the bewitching is allowing false teachers in.
Okay. Inside is allowing and outside.
Inside and outside.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Allowing the lack, the lack of discipleship, the lack of mentorship.
Okay. Sure, sure.
In when a person receives Christ,
right. They're teaching them,
but also following the ways of the flesh. We need to walk in the spirit. If we walk in the ways of the flesh, then when you tell me the gospel of the Cadillac, like the guy told you, Pastor, it'll draw me away.
Sure, it'll draw me away.
That's absolutely right. And what Pastor started saying in the very beginning, the gospel is enough, y'all. We're not saying that a lot of these things are in itself wrong, shouldn't be done.
Right.
That's not what we're saying.
We're not saying that at all.
But we are saying that they're not necessary
for salvation.
Okay.
For salvation.
That's right.
And us as members of the body of Christ, our main focus should be on the gospel.
Should be.
On the gospel of Christ, because that's what that lost soul needs to hear.
More than anything.
In order to be drawn to repentance.
More than anything.
Which brings salvation.
That's right.
Let's keep the main thing.
The main thing. Praise God.
And everything else that is secondary, let it be secondary.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah. You know, so many of our believers, you know, have been caught up in this prosperity gospel.
The tradition,
you know.
Too many of us. Still caught
up. Grandparents and parents, you know, have been brought up in. And that's why so many of them have become bewitched.
Okay.
You know, but it's like the word of God when Satan, the tempter, came to Jesus and offered him all of this stuff and these things.
Yeah.
And so that's what has happened to so many of our our believers, church folks in the church.
Right.
Yeah.
Took a side road. But Tony, you said a while ago, and we're going to let it close out what you said a while ago. Let the main thing
Amen.
Be the main thing.
Be the main thing.
Father, we bless you. We thank you for this time.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that hearts have been touched, ears have been, praise God, awakened to hear the word of God, praise God, and help us, Lord, to stay with the word. The word works. We believe it works.
Yes.
If we would just allow the Holy Spirit to do his job, and when he want to do it, how he want to do it, as long as he want to do it, help us, Lord, to be obedient to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.